This morning I want to take just a few minutes. I want you to say this title with me. God is first. Come on again. God is first. One more time. God is first. Allow me to stir up your most holy faith this morning. We're on the possible verge of possibly one of the most important elections of our lifetime. But I'm here to say on November 7th, Jesus is Lord. On November 8th, Jesus is Lord. On November 9th, whenever you wake up that morning, even if you didn't go to bed the night before, if the election's settled or not, I want you to understand, Jesus is Lord. Come on, someone say amen. Amen. Jesus is Lord, and church, we've got a big job to do. Number one, God is in control. Sounds simplistic, but it's the truth. Watch what the scripture says. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 8. Therefore, I exhort what we should do. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Ladies are sitting there going, but I know that. You guys need prayer. Of course, this means for all men and women. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And no matter who wins this election, on November 9th, we need to get up and pray for whoever the president is to be. On November 8th, when you hear the end result of the elections, some are saying we might not for days. We might not. We better just keep praying for all parties. And too often there's too much anger in the body of Christ, and we spear one another for beliefs that are different than our own. And we need to repent of that, church. We need to be what God has called us to be, prayer warriors for our nation and for whoever is in elected office, because God is still in control. Amen? The rest of that scripture, who desires all men, he desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men. Say it with me. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I desire, therefore, that men and women pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Say it with me. Without wrath and doubting. You're not going to your knees in prayer full of anger over what might have just taken place. You're not going full of doubt for the future, because God's got the future in His hands. You read the end of the book and guess what? God's still on the throne. No matter what happens. Are you surprised by that? Turn to each other and say, God's on the throne. Come on. Turn to each other. Say, God is on the throne. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, Jude 1, 20 and 21, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. God's in control. He's in charge. Acts 27, 23 through 25 out of the New King James. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, don't be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, Paul said to those fellow prisoners on shipboard and those who were also serving as officers. I believe God, please say the rest with me, that it will be just as it was told me. A good God is in charge. And he showed up last night in a dream and he said, look, I'm going to save everybody on board. And you would think, wait a minute, what's happening here? Paul is arrested for preaching the gospel. Paul's arrested for telling people about Jesus. Paul's arrested and pushed away because he said to somebody, you can be forgiven of your sins. Now turn from your idols and turn to Jesus. But there's good news in Jesus. So they arrested him and said, we got to put this guy away from us. They put him on board a ship. They're going to take him to Rome, and he's going to preach at Caesar's household. And then a storm comes up. I mean, come on, if you're Paul, like a lot of us think, right? If you're like that, you sit there and you go, for heaven's sakes, I was just trying to preach for you. Now I'm arrested. Now I'm on board a ship, and the storm comes up. Give me a break! And Paul says, you know, God's still in control. Jesus is still in charge. It's gone badly and more difficult. And I don't think it can get any worse. How many know, have you learned in your life never to say that? Don't ever say that. It just can't get any worse. Oh, yeah. But with God, He knows how to work all things out for His good. And when it seems worse, God says, come to me. Jesus says, come to me. Because I can make it better. I'm the God who turns sin away from you and gives redemption to you. And I can make something beautiful out of your life. The Lord can control a king's mind. Proverbs 21:1 out of the New Century. As He controls a river, He can direct it as He pleases. Now, isn't that powerful? He can direct it as He pleases. He's got all things under control. I don't have any idea who's going to win an election on November 8th, but I can tell you on that day and on every day before and after, I can tell you that Jesus is on the throne and He is Lord. And that we're called to preach the gospel and we're called to bring the love of Christ to a dark and dying world. I'm not identified by my politics, at least that's not my desire. My desire is to be identified by Jesus Christ and by the love of God that He wants to give away. I remember years ago, right after we'd planted the church, somebody who wrote me a letter from a whole transgender perspective and a homosexual background saying, you know, you have advertised in your website that everybody can come. And I want to know if that's really true. It was a straightforward, piercing letter. And I really labored. I remember asking some of you who were here at that time to be in prayer for me. And I really labored. And then I wrote a loving letter back because the person said, may I come to church? And I wrote back and said, of course you can come to church if you don't want to take over and control it for your own agenda. But please know in love, I want to speak the truth in love as to the question you're not asking. Yes, I believe, according to the scripture, that the lifestyle you're choosing is sin. But in this place, and that's according to the Bible, but in this place, you will receive love and you will be welcome because everybody needs to be able to come to the house of God and hear the good news of Jesus. That person wrote me back a letter. She said, I never usually answer these, but I want you to know out of all the years I've had any dealings with anybody at church, this is the most beautiful, sincere, and honest letter I've ever received. As to whether or not I'll come, I can't go to a place where they believe what I'm doing is sin. But I want you to know I feel welcomed. And we have a responsibility, church, to do a job to lift up Jesus and to share Him with people that know. That doesn't mean you don't stand for truth, but you speak the truth in love. You vote. You work. You reach out. 30 to 40 million evangelicals stayed home in the last election. Not a one of us should stay home. There's a lot of work to do. But ultimately, no matter what happens, God is in control. Our calling remains the same today and tomorrow. We give Him thanks. We rejoice in Him. We give Him praise. He's still great. And He's still on the throne. Does it matter what happens? Yep. Does it destroy your faith if it doesn't go how you want? Nope. Does it cause you to shake and quake and hide and run from the marketplace? Nope. Does it cause you to come to your knees regardless of who wins? Yes. They all need prayer. How many can say amen? Every single elected official needs prayer. Jesus didn't yield to fear. The kingdom is the Lord. He rules over all the nations. Jesus didn't yield to fear. So we don't need to either. Let's go back because clearly I went farther than I should have. Someone say, oh, dopey you. Okay, don't say that. Jesus didn't yield to fear. So we don't either. Okay, you can say that with me. Jesus didn't yield to fear, so we don't either. All right, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he did pray that the suffering would pass away from him. But he ultimately surrendered to the will of God. He had a divine job to do. How many of you know, each one of you sitting here this morning, has a divine job to do? A calling from God. Something he wants you to do. You don't retire from the presence of God. You might retire from Boeing, but you don't retire from Jesus. No matter your age, no matter your station in life, surrender to him and then reach out to others with his love and grace. Proverbs 21:1, I'm going to repeat the verse. The Lord can control a king's mind as he controls a river. He can direct it as he pleases. Remember, on one occasion, the king of Assyria had his heart turned, so he in turn aided in the construction of the temple in the Old Testament. Remember, on another occasion, God stirs the heart of Cyrus, who releases the Jews to return to Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar was considered to be the mightiest king of his generation, but God humbled him and put him out to the grassy fields for 7 years. Anybody remember that? It really is a tangible physical malady that can occur. But the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nation. Max Lucado said this, Understanding God's sovereignty over the nations opens the doors to peace. When we realize that God influences the hearts of all rulers, we can then choose to pray rather than fret about them. Rather than wring our hands, we can bend our knees, and we can select prayer over despair. It's only one thing to fear, as far as I'm concerned. Only one thing. Missing our opportunities and turning a deaf ear to the calling of God to give him away. Let's obey him and trust him when the opportunities come. Okay, thirdly, dare to believe. Say that with me, would you please?
Dare
to believe. Jeremiah was a prophet to Israel in its worst days as they were getting ready to go to Babylon because of their rebellion. How many remember Jeremiah was the weeping prophet? Okay, Jeremiah had a book where he wept so much they named a chapters after him, after it called Lamentations. He was lamenting constantly the condition of the people and the depravity of their faith. He was so distraught and crying. But then he considered God. And then he realized, this I recall to mind, therefore I have, what's the word?
Hope.
To the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, out of the Message. But there's one thing I remember, and remembering, I keep a grip on hope. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great is your faithfulness. Even facing death for preaching Jesus, Paul's circumstances didn't rule his life or faith. He kept faith with Jesus, kept walking with him, kept triumphing in his circumstances. But the good news of Jesus, 2 Corinthians tells us, chapter 4, verse 13, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Paul in the early church turned the world upside down in a really dark day. Guys, dark days and circumstances don't define nor do they control our faith. Someone say amen, that's good news. In Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll come to a close. The chapter is considered the hall of faith. The writer urges us to remember the great leaders that have gone before us in faith. Our mothers and forefathers who have struck a deal with God and walked with him no matter how difficult it became. Who faced turmoil and difficulties, but they knew they were strangers and pilgrims in this place. Yeah, we're called to be salt and light. We're called to influence. We're not called to retreat from the marketplace. But the old song says this world is not our home. there's a better place. And we want to take as many there with us as we can, don't we? That's why your husband's in Vietnam. That's why others are reaching out at, right here in Port Ludlow, and Port Gamble, Port Hadlock, Irondale, Port Townsend, all around our region. How many want to see our region absolutely electrified with the presence of Jesus? Revival burning and people coming to Him by the multitudes. But remember, we're citizens of a heavenly kingdom. We love our country. We labor. We vote. But we remember, no matter what, God is first. God is on the throne. He's never shaken. He's never troubled. And He is never taken by surprise. Pray and work. And then the Bible says, occupy in the King James. And in the New King James and other translations, that word literally means do business till I come. Jesus says, be about the business. Reaching others. Praying for healing. Watching people get delivered from sin and giving them the gospel and leading them to Jesus. You got family and friends and people in your neighborhoods and people in your cul-de-sacs and people in this community and other communities who need to hear the good news of Jesus. I want you to do business. Give it away and give me away, Jesus says. Until I come, you're not done. Someone say amen. Until I come, you're not done. Remember, church, God's first. Would you stand with me, please? Musicians, will you come? We're going to go back and we're going to sing a song that we sang in worship. Bigger than all my problems. God is bigger than any mountain, any difficulty. God is first. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Kitty. Your guest with us this morning, I know we had many things on the plate to take care of this morning. We welcome you back anytime. Wednesday night grace gathering is at 6:30 at 240 Maple Lane. We invite you to come to that as well. I want you to know that if you're here this morning and you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, He loves you so much. And He invites you to come, surrender to Him. There'll be people who will pray for you as you come and do that as we close here this morning. God is good, church. He loves you so much. If you need prayer, if you need healing, there'll be people right over here who will be happy to pray for you as well as we close. Father, we thank You that no matter what, You are in complete control. And Lord, as we leave this place today, we know that You are first. And we put our trust in You. We thank You, Lord, for the good news of Jesus Christ. You've redeemed us. You've saved us. You love us. And we give You all the praise. Now be with each one as they go from this place today. You've spoken to our hearts this morning words of comfort, words of strength, words of responsibility, but above all, words that let us be reminded that You are in control. We bless each one now in Jesus' name. They all said,
amen.
Would you raise your hands for the blessing, please? Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And in another place, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 13, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a fantastic day in the presence of the Lord. Amen.